Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And a very good morning to you. Glad you've tuned in. Wow, Merry Christmas. We're getting closer
Merry
all the
Christmas
time.
To all. And to
all a good night. Morning.
Oh, all right. Well,
yeah, not night yet.
It's not yet.
I watched
it.
A movie
was dark when I came in this morning.
I know. So it's like, okay. So and I watched a movie
night.
Called To All a Good Night last night.
Oh, you did?
It's very good. Yes. Okay. About a military guy. And just a great guest. Great movie. So, here we are. Just Dr. Jerry Mixon. Dr. Umat is somewhere. Increasing her brain.
She's actually in Las Vegas, I believe, with Sunil.
Okay.
I got the impression he was going with her. So hopefully she is studying in the day and partying at night with her hubby.
There you go.
Hope.
We'll find out next week. We'll ask her. Right. And if her face turns red, we'll know.
Yes, is the answer.
Yep, good. And then, of course, next week is Christmas weekend. We will not be here. Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful recorded show for you featuring some of our favorite phone calls from this year. It's the best of show for Saturday. And then again, the following Saturday, New Year's weekend.
Yeah, maybe we should do a blooper show one of these days.
Oh, you know, boy.
When we say the wrong thing or say something really stupid.
We would never do that.
No.
No.
We would never say anything stupid?
Dance in the studio or be everybody. Silly? Yes.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, nix that idea. Yeah.
I did talk to the contractors yesterday, though, about building our new video studio.
And knocking the wall out and making it bigger?
It's a bigger room. It's just
bigger?
Right
okay.
Behind you, actually.
Okay.
And it's a bigger than about four of these little cubicles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then I'm going to use one of these two cubicles, this one or the one next door, as the control room.
Okay, that makes sense.
So we'll have a place to put a set and several cameras and, yeah.
Then everybody can see my blingy
That's
pink
right.
reindeer
and,
necklace
yeah,
that I would
Samira
have on today.
And I get up and dance, you know, they'll be able to see us. I'm going to have to get you a standing desk.
Yes.
So that you
I can stand too.
So you can dance with us.
That's right. I do that during the week. I have one. I have one that lowers and
yes,
it's wonderful. I love it.
Yeah, the electric. Yeah.
Yep.
So we may have to, you know, design it with that so that we can all sit and stand at
this.
Our
Oh, that would be
choice.
Awesome.
Yes.
Very
and
good.
And then we're going to put it all on YouTube. So we'll put our shows on the so that people can not just listen to us.
They'll be looking at us too.
And they won't have to just do it on the radio the Saturday morning. If they miss it, they can pick us up any day of the week.
They can catch it.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's my task for sometime this summer is to get that studio built.
Well, they see us zipping out of the studio occasionally to refill the tea or run down the hall to the bathroom.
They'll see us, yes.
Yes,
yep.
Okay. They'll
Whatever
get all
happens,
the stuff.
They'll see.
Okay.
It'll be real.
All right. So. Yeah, very good. Just like we are live in the studio. I'm going to give out that phone number.
Okay.
So that folks don't wait till the very last tail end of
now,
our show.
They we did want that everyone... last week. The
yes.
First, the first hour last week was incredibly
And there
slow.
Were a few that we didn't get to. I was so bummed.
They all called late. So
yes.
Get off the couch or pick up your cell phone, wherever mm-hmm. you are, and give us a call early so
yes.
that we can make sure we get your call today.
That's right, because we are live today, but we won't be live next week or the week after, so you'll have to wait.
Christmas and New Year's, we're all going to go party.
That's right. I'm going to give you that number right now to get through. 206-421-5757 is the number to call for Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. That's 206-421-5757. 57. All right. What's making headlines or news right now as we're at the tail end of the year?
At the tail end of the year.
Yes, the last.
We're trying to figure out why we're getting so many deaths of otherwise healthy young men.
Mm. And young, like you said, young, healthy, young
late
men.
Late 20s, 30s, early 40s. And the peak deaths seem to be in their 30s. And it's both men and women, but primarily men. And so, you know, the question is, since this started after COVID and the vaccination, is this vaccine and or COVID related, or is there something else going on? The temporal relationship, of course, makes some people suspicious. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in medicine, we learn very early that causation is not necessarily related to temporal events. So correlation and causation are two different things. So they may be correlated, but not caused. For instance, okay. Here's my favorite example, correlation versus causation. Did you know that in California and Hawaii, the ice cream sales correlate with shark bites? The more ice cream is sold in California, the more shark bites occur.
Wow.
Now.
Okay.
Is this causation or correlation? Does eating ice cream make the shark think you're sweet and come get you? No. It turns out that this is correlation. The causation is the hot weather that underlies both the ice cream consumption and more people in the water, which is the shark's natural environment.
More to chew on.
When the weather is hot, more people eat ice cream and more people swim in the ocean. So there's a correlation. Ice cream consumption in California correlates with shark bites, but it does not cause shark bites.
What a right. fun. Okay. I love that. That's a very good okay. one.
Yeah. That's okay. That's kind of the classic example of correlation versus causation. So we do have a clear correlation between a vaccine and a viral disease, both of whom have some increased incidence in clotting diseases and sudden death. And now, a year or so later, after the disease is gone and most people are no longer taking the vaccines, we have a sudden increase in healthy young males dying. Are they related or is there something else going on?
Okay.
Okay. And so we'll see. A lot of people looking at it, we don't really have a good reason why otherwise healthy young men are dropping dead without warning.
And where was the information gleaned? Where did we get this?
Oh, that was the fun part. This did not come from the CDC or hospitals.
It wasn't medical, was it?
No, it came from the insurance industry.
Wow.
Because what's happened is a lot of young men in their 30s is when they start buying life insurance. Their mm-hmm. career is starting to take off. So late 20s to early 30s. And they're buying their life insurance policies. And all of a sudden, this is the group of men that should not die.
Right. These are the healthy ones.
These are the healthy ones.
Your policies are cheaper.
Your policy is dirt cheap and the company plans to make a profit on you. And all of a sudden, they're having to pay off.
Mm.
In all of these young men dropping dead. And so the insurance companies are saying, wait a minute, what's going on? Now, these young men are dying at home out of hospital suddenly, so the hospitals are not seeing these deaths.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So these are not hospital-related deaths, and so these men are not getting autopsies. They're just getting embalmed and buried.
Wow.
And so we don't know the cause.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting that we're getting this tidbit of medical news, which is fairly important news, not from the Center for Disease Control, not from the hospitals, not from the National Institute of Health, but from the life insurance agencies.
Wow. Okay. Now, something that pops into my head, and I sure hope it's not true, you know, the conspiracy theorist, when this whole COVID thing started, we're like, well, they probably didn't, you know, we're thinking they didn't develop it on purpose because it's going after the elderly and the weak.
Yeah.
it need to go after the young. And well,
yeah, and that
now
was,
it's like, yeah,
And that was my answer to the folks that said this is a bioweapon the Chinese have unleashed on us to destroy us. I said, I doubt it, because it's the world's worst bioweapon.
Yeah, it's going after the old people.
It kills the 85-year-olds, not the soldiers, mm-hmm. You know, not the young people. A bioweapon, you want to wipe out...
You're young and strong.
The young and strong. You want to destroy their economy that way. Of course, it turns out that our politicians, being exceedingly stupid, destroyed our economy.
Well, yeah, they did that all by themselves.
They did that in consequence to the old folks dying. But... what a mess. But that would have been a really poorly planned bioweapon. No, yeah. I am absolutely convinced it came out of the Wuhan viral laboratory. The surrounding evidence is just too strong, and the cover up at Wuhan so intense, disappearing the doctors and stuff, that you know, they just said no. But I also believe it was an accident. Mm-hmm. I think that the Chinese viral agencies have been warned for years that their procedures are sloppy and they do not have good enough controls, and they should not be handling, you know, level 4 viruses. But they do anyway. And so I think this was an accidental release from the Wuhan lab. I don't believe it was on purpose, just because you wouldn't release it in Beijing.
No, in your own country. Right in town.
Yeah, and that's where the first cases showed up, were in Beijing. And, you know, come on, you're going to do a bioweapon. You don't do it in your country's capital.
Yes.
And you don't design it to kill the old and the feeble.
Yeah.
No. That particular conspiracy theory I will ignore.
Yeah.
But what is killing all of a sudden?
What's happening now?
Yeah, the sudden uptick in young, otherwise healthy men primarily. We need to find out.
Yes. So. Yes, we do. We don't have answers yet.
Nope, no answers.
Okay, and that's kind of the big thing. We don't have any new viruses going on or things
None
we need to watch out.
None that we're aware of, unless there's something with these young men
yes.
that we have not detected yet. Yeah.
Okay, well, that is good news.
So, yeah.
All right. Waiting for those first calls. Here's the number to call, 206-421-5757. We are live in the studio today. We will be recorded and not here Christmas weekend or New Year's weekend. So call us now with your questions.
Yep.
206-421-5757. We'll take a break here and
we'll
return.
Now. Or no, don't forever hold your peace.
No, don't.
But
wait.
Hold your peace for at least 2 weeks if you don't speak today.
That's right. 206-421-5757. This is Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We'll be right back.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man,
woo-hoo,
it doesn't
let
show
it snow. I actually got a dusting, a little bit of snow last Saturday on my way home. I live in a higher elevation, and it was like, what is this? So I snapped some pictures. I had a little dusting outside. And
that's neat.
Just enough to look pretty, and then it was gone 2 hours later. I was glad I didn't wait. I've learned in Washington, if you want to get those snow pictures, you better get out
you
there.
You better hurry.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I did have an interesting non-medical, but a heartwarming experience this past week.
Aww.
I was flying home, last on the airplane were dress-uniformed young Army officers that got the two front-row first-class seats, and they announced that we were flying a body home to Seattle, to his family, a young soldier who had been killed, and that this was the honor guard that was taking him home.
Oh, wow.
And they told us that there was going to be a little delay getting out to the runway, because as we pushed back and started cruising towards the runway, they had brought the fire trucks out and lined the fire trucks out on both sides of the airplane, and as we passed through, they fired their water cannon over the airplane from both sides.
Wow!
In honor of the young soldier.
Wow.
And,
okay.
And then as we landed in Seattle, they announced that everyone should remain seated and until the honor guard left the aircraft. And when these young soldiers stood up, the entire airplane erupted in applause and cheers for them and cries of God bless the troops.
Wow. I just got goosebumps. Yeah. What a story. To be able to see that.
Yeah. It is American Airlines. And, of course, American Airlines were the airplanes that were crashed into the towers
yes.
on 9/11. So I guess American Airlines takes this
very seriously. It's very important.
I had never heard of this happening, but I was very impressed.
Good.
Yeah, so that's kind of my heartwarming story. Sad that the young man died, obviously. But the fact that the company, the American Airlines company, and the airport, and all of the people on the airplane.
The respect that was given.
Was showing signs of respect
yes.
for this young man's sacrifice.
Mm, that's good. Those are the stories we need to hear.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you for that. All right, 1020, Leading Edge Medicine, that number to call, 206-421-5757. We're headed to Buckley. We have Charlie starting off our show today. Hi there, Charlie.
Hello, Charlie. How can we help?
Well, good morning to both of you. I listened last week about a diet that I guess could kind of clean your carotid artery.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, here's the situation. I go to a sleep doctor because somebody said I might have sleep apnea. So I'm the guy that had the bad foot and Brandon set me up and stuff and all the pain and everything. And it's still there a little bit. But anyway, I kept on telling these people I think I had a stroke at the same time. And anyway, the sleep doctor I seen after about almost a year, he says, you know, you got, I can tell your carotid artery is vibrating on your right side. I go, really? So I ended up having my vascular check that out with a sonogram. Come to find out my left artery, because it's the right side, right, that's kind of messed up, mm-hmm. and I can't hold my fork right. Like I used to for over 63 years. And anyway, I found out my left carotid artery is blocked completely. So then they gave me a CAT scan with the dye and stuff, contrast. They find out my right carotid artery is over 80% blocked.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, That's not good, right?
That is true.
Oh.
That is true. Okay, well, let me tell you, the doctor you want to look up is called Dr. Dean Ornish.
It's
O-R-N-I-S-H. Yeah, and let me kind of tell you a couple of quick stories about him. He's a cardiologist, had been around for, golly, I've known him for 30-some years.
Mm.
He first wrote a book that was on heart, on how to not have a heart attack. And the book was a flop. Nobody read it. And the thrust of the book was, read this book, eat this way, and you won't have a heart attack. And by the way, you'll get skinnier. The publisher came to him and said, Doc, people don't care about heart attacks. They care about being fat. So let's redo your book with a different thrust. So they redid the book and they called it this time, Eat More, Weigh Less. Okay.
Okay.
And he made $1 million off it.
Wow.
But he has since written several other books. He now also has a 9-week program to help reverse your atherosclerotic heart disease and your carotid artery disease. And cardiac flow studies of the carotid artery, showing the Doppler flow studies of your carotid arteries, showing people that were 90% narrowed and 18 months later were down to 50%.
Whoa.
Without surgery.
Okay? Wow.
And so he does a 9-week program. It's a little on the pricey side, but he also tells your books how you can do it on your own slower. But in that 9 weeks, you'll spend 72 hours with the doctors.
Wow. You don't even get that in a lifetime for your entire family and your town.
Well, but he's trying to keep people from dying of strokes and heart attacks.
I mean, yes.
People that go to this program.
It's preventative.
Are serious.
Yeah, they're serious. I mean,
they've got a serious problem.
They want to make sure.
And so they don't want to take a year and a half doing it. They want to clean things as fast as they possibly can. So you can look up Dr. Dean Ornish. Just put in Dean Ornish books. He has several books out there that will tell you how to eat in order to open up your arteries. And if you're one of those people that think you're right on the edge of having your stroke or heart attack, you may want to contact, he calls it Ornish Living, and you might want to contact them. And,
I'm sorry, Ornish what?
Ornish Living, L-I-V-I-N-G.
Oh, okay, right.
Okay.
Okay. The thing is, they said, well, you can't clean out the completely blocked one. And I figured, well, yeah.
That's true. Mean, yeah. Once it's completely blocked, you're stuck.
Wow.
But yours isn't stuck yet, so clean it out.
Well, I'm going to see a cardiologist. It was my mother's, and now it's my wife's, and now it's going to be mine. And, you know, he's pretty sharp cookie. And, he evaluated my heart test back in November when I had no idea what was going on when I went in with the clogged artery. I mean, they went this room, that room, this room. I don't know all the tests they did to me, but I guess they checked my heart. And so this cardiologist, that's my wife, he says, I was in the office with her appointment. And I said, hey, I understand you did my heart evaluation, because my other doctor, the vascular, he says, oh, Dr. Liv did that. And so I asked him, and he was nice. And he turned around and looked up my name and everything. He says to me, you have strong heart. And I thought, great. But that was like two months ago. But I'm going to go, you know what I mean. But he turns around, and I'm going to see him on the 5th. And the thing is, I guess you got to have a strong heart to be able to maybe have a procedure to help clean the existing carotid that I have.
All right.
Does that make sense to you?
Well, clearly you don't want to have a carotid artery procedure and have a heart attack on the table. They'd be real unhappy. So I want to make sure you're not going to have a heart attack on them. But
gotcha.
You know, if you really need surgery, get surgery. If you've got the time, there are ways to clean out these arteries short of surgery.
Sure. But see, I looked it up on my little phone, and I go, well, if you got this situation, you might have about a year, maybe three. And I thought, that's great.
Well, that's plenty of time to turn it around, though. You can make a big change in 6 months. So,
well, you know, you were talking about the COVID shot and yep. The COVID. And, you know, we have a friend, she's perfect health, even though she's 87 now. But she's getting all these boosters and shots and everything. And all of a sudden, boom, she had a heart attack. And the thing is, her son has blood thinner. He went through everything fine. The thing is, my wife is on blood thinner, right? Because she had the COVID. We both had it at the same time. The thing is, I'm going, did that contribute to me having a clogged artery or a stroke? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because I got
it. And it might contribute, although mostly what we're seeing with COVID is small vessel disease. But, you know, clots are clots are clots. So if you've got narrowing already, the COVID might conceivably make it worse. Yes. All right, my friend, we got to take a break. Thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. You're tuned in to Leading Edge Medicine, talking about your health, your aging, what's going on in your life. We'd love to talk with you, Dr. Jerry Mixon, in the studio. And here is that number to get through, 206-421-5757. We'll be right back after this break.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. All the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Bells. And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine with a little Christmas music for you. I think that's Harry Connick Jr. there. Oh, good morning. I'm Lynette here along with Dr. Jerry Mixon, taking your phone calls at 206-421-5757. And we have, we're going to head to Black Diamond now.
Ooh.
We're talking to Rick.
Rick is on the line. Skiing the Black Diamonds.
Yes.
Those are the ones that have the moguls and some jumps and some speed.
Woo.
Right.
Welcome to the show there, Rick.
Thank you. I was curious. You have been talking about tadalafil, or you were. A few weeks ago, you had somebody on who had who seemed to imply that it was effective against cholesterol. I don't tolerate statins very well, and I was wondering if that was an alternative.
It's not. It is not significantly a anti-cholesterol drug, although we do see people that have better blood flow, you know, burn cholesterol more efficiently, and they often will get somewhat lower levels. So,
all right.
But it's I don't write it primarily for cholesterol. It's just one of those side effects that we sometimes notice.
Okay. Well, I'm taking it for BPH, so I was wondering if that would help me with my cholesterol issue.
Yeah. You know, the biggest things we're finding with cholesterol is when we replace all the end organ hormones. You know, people don't seem to realize, they think of cholesterol as a bad thing. Cholesterol is the mother hormone. We make all of our steroid hormones out of cholesterol. So progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, dehydroepiandrosterone, pregnenolone, cortisol, all of these things are made out of cholesterol. And in addition to that, cholesterol metabolism is critical for life. Your brain has to have cholesterol metabolism in order to think. Your muscles have to have it in order to contract. Your heart has to have it in order to contract. So cholesterol in and of itself is not bad. The problem is that one form of cholesterol, the low-density lipoprotein, especially the largest of the three forms of LDL cholesterol, are very fragile. And they are easily damaged by excess sugar or free radicals or inflammation of almost any kind. And when that LDL is damaged, it changes the markers on its surface such that the immune system now sees it as an inflammatory foreign material and tries to get rid of it. And so you send out these white blood cells, these phagocytes, to gobble it up, to phagocytize it, and they eat up so much of this damaged LDL that they look like foam cells under the microscope, so we call them foam cells, oddly enough. That then goes and gets laid down under the lining of the artery, underneath the intima, and piles up and forms the plaque that can rupture and cause your heart attack. So that's the sequence that happens and why the cholesterol can become a bad actor. But what we're finding is that because cholesterol is the mother hormone, and you use the cholesterol to make everything else, when we're aging and our end organs are failing, say a woman's ovaries are starting to fail and she's not turning cholesterol into estrogen anymore, and she's not her adrenals are not turning it into pregnenolone and dehydroepiandrosterone, and the man's testicles are not making testosterone, the cholesterol can't get to where it needs to go to make the other hormones because these organs are failing. And so your body seems to ramp up cholesterol production, trying to drive the reactions because you're short of all these other hormones. And what we're finding is that when we put all the other hormones back, when we put the testosterone in you, the pregnenolone, the dehydroepiandrosterone, your progesterone, we get all of those levels up to a more reasonable level, all of a sudden cholesterol starts going down. And it becomes very easy then to control cholesterol with diet and exercise once it's no longer trying to drive the production of all these downstream hormones. And so very few of our people need to go on a statin because by solving all the downstream hormonal problems, we solve the upstream mother hormone problem. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you very much. That was very interesting.
So,
thank you for taking my call.
Okay. Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, Rick. And you can call, too, and get through, just like Rick and Charlie this morning at 206-421-5757. We're going to stay right here in Seattle. We have Sue on the line next. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Sue. Oh, okay. When we will head, we've got a couple of calls here ready to go. Ben is next. Let's go to Ben.
Hello, Ben.
Hi. I have a question about A1C.
Okay.
Now, I've learned a few things, and real briefly, I've learned that you want to keep your insulin levels down. I learned the differences between glucose and fructose.
Uh-huh.
I know about added sugars in processed foods.
Good.
So my objective was to change my diet so I would reduce my A1C, my hemoglobin A1C, which is better for health, as you have explained many times.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I changed my diet significantly. I did not consume many added sugars or sugars that are in processed foods, packaged foods, but I restricted myself to whole foods and good whole foods, but my A1C was still 5.8. And but what I did do, and I will say I do exercise enough and plenty every day. I would eat fruit. I would eat a couple apples. I would have strawberries, blueberries, bananas, papaya, pears, oranges, things of that sort. I'm wondering if the fruit consumption, which is a natural sugar, it's not an added sugar from what I understand, if that would be keeping my A1C up.
It could. It could. You know, the fructose is a sugar and our bodies can burn it, but not as efficiently as glucose, which is what we really want, of course. And table sugar, sucrose, is a mixture. One glucose with one fructose. So you cleave them in half and you use the glucose and now you've got the fructose left over. Fructose does predispose fat production. So it's not burned as efficiently as glucose would be. So it kind of gets stored in some ways as fat. It gets converted to a triglyceride and the triglycerides are then pumped into your fat cells as a way of getting them out of the bloodstream. So if you're exercising well, what do you weigh? How tall are you?
I'm 5'10", 163. I walk, run 5 miles a day in Discovery Park, which you know is hilly.
Okay, sure.
And then I go to the gym for 45 minutes a day. And I'm 64.
Okay, so you're certainly getting plenty of physical activity, and that's important because, you know, you burn sugar efficiently in muscle, and so that's a real benefit. You're clearly not over-consuming calories because you're lean, so I love that. What did your parents...
I have an app, you know, a diet app, health app.
Uh-huh.
and it says that I'm down, I'm still under with respect to my weight and calories, you know, 400 or 500 calories a day.
Yeah. Yep, but remember that is geared for the average person's metabolism. People who mm-hmm. eat lightly and who exercise develop a much more efficient metabolism, and they don't need as many calories in the course of the day. Their bodies adjust, and they run far more efficiently than people that tend mm-hmm. to overeat. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's not as much slop in your metabolic system. So you're really not under-caloried. You're doing fine if your weight is stable. All right.
Yes, it's stable.
Okay. Well, the music says we got to take a quick break. Mm-hmm. When we come back, we'll visit about this just a little bit more, okay?
That's right. Stay right there. Leading Edge Medicine will continue. Ben, stay where you are. And Ken and Leroy will get to your calls and your questions, too. Leading Edge Medicine, every Saturday morning right here. Here's the number to get through. 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, here along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Today, Dr. Samira Umat has the day off. Not really off, though. She's working hard at a conference in Las Vegas, expanding her mind and learning more medical things, right?
That's right. And taking her husband to the dance clubs at night, I hope.
Oh,
having
yes.
a good time.
I hope so,
not,
too.
She's wasting the opportunity.
So. Oh, boy. Okay, well, let's continue with Ben calling in. We're talking about A1C and blood sugars.
Okay. Well.
So, what I'm interested in is at a 5.8 and given my exercise level, would it behoove me to eat less fruit?
Yes, it probably would. And
okay.
You know, I want to make sure you get plenty of fiber in your diet, and fruit can be a nice way to do that, but you do get more sugar. So, you know, you might look for more in the way of the woody vegetables instead of the fruit. So, let's face
and
it.
And I fruit, do that, and I remember about 10, 15 years ago, you said that each day you drink a glass of, you know, soluble, mixable fiber. That,
yeah.
I don't know where you would buy it, but I buy it from Whole Food.
Uh-huh.
And I have that every day, along with my salads and vegetables and things of that sort.
Sure. You know, it sounds like you're doing things really well. The other
well,
component that,
you.
Yeah, the other component has been is the, just genetics. You know, some folks have a predisposition just based on their genome to run higher sugars than other people. And in fact, some racial groups, Han Chinese, I'm very familiar with this because my wife is Chinese. Han Chinese, even if they're skinny, have a high incidence of type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
You know, in Caucasians and Africans, type 2 diabetes is almost always coupled with obesity. You have to get fat mm-hmm. to become a type 2 diabetic. Han Chinese don't. They can stay skinny and eat lightly and still become type 2 diabetics. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's so you may just have a genome that is running your sugars a little higher than average, despite what sounds like a almost perfect lifestyle. The only suggestion I could make would be to, you know, limit the fruit a bit and see what happens.
Okay. I have just one more brief question if I could ask it.
Sure.
LabCorp, their top end of the range is 5.2, and I have a 5.4 potassium blood potassium level. Now, I will say that the night before I had the blood test or the day before I had the blood test, I had a cosmetic surgical procedure that required general anesthesia. And then subsequent to that, I had the oxycodone which I'm assuming is an anti-steroidal medication. And like I say, I've been consuming bananas frequently. I'm wondering if that made a contribution to that 5.4 potassium level, and if you think that 5.4 potassium level is a dangerous level, when for the past 5 years or so, my general level would be between 4.8 and 5.2.
It's a bit elevated. It's not high enough. I'm panicky about it. I would actually, though, say it's probably, if you had a general anesthetic, you were getting IV fluids. And yes. this is probably a Ringer's lactate that they used as your IV, and I'll bet that's what raised it for you. And the oxycodone, by the way, is a narcotic, not an anti-inflammatory.
Oh, so it's not like ibuprofen.
No, no. Oxycodone is a potent narcotic. It's a variant of codeine, but it's more highly absorbed into the brain and provides better pain relief. But it's also somewhat more addictive than plain codeine. So, yeah. This was a problem for the Sackler family and their pharmaceutical company several years ago, when they caused so many deaths and addictions. They were actually using a very rapidly absorbed version of oxycodone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the Netflix documentary.
Yeah. I just watched that too.
Well, you're on the. They gave you the same drug. They just gave you a much slower release that is far less likely to cause addiction than the one that the Sacklers were selling. So.
Okay, but going back to the banana, you don't believe it's the banana.
It's high sugar. It's high sugar, but it's also fairly high fiber. But most of the potassium in bananas is in the peel, not in the fruit. So
okay.
I wouldn't be too concerned about it. The other thing is, whenever I see somebody that has an electrolyte disorder like that, the first thing I do is repeat it a few days later, because electrolyte levels.
That's what they said for me to repeat it.
Yeah, they shift very quickly, and so what you want to do is see the trend. And so if a few days to a week later it's down, then you just relax.
What was weird is that my pH with regard to the blood test was 6, and normally it's like 7, 7.5.
Yes,
I just don't understand.
So
why
you
my
were
pH
a bit acidic. Well, yeah, and once more, an acidic metabolism will release more potassium. So this is all part of the acid-base balance.
Maybe I'm drinking too much coffee. Is there such a thing as too much coffee?
God, I hope not. I don't know.
Not this week.
the statistics show that people who drink 5 or more cups of coffee a day cut their risk of Parkinson's disease and other neurologic degenerative diseases almost in half.
Wow.
So I think coffee is
a
wonderful compound.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't give you palpitations.
The only reason that I was concerned about it was because of the acidity that it may cause in the body, and because of the reduced pH that I experienced.
Yes, no, I understand. And coffee can be acidic, but that depends in part on the type of coffee you're using. The Arabica beans are far more acidic than the Robustos. So,
I got to remember that.
Yeah, so when you go buy your coffee, buy the Robusto, not the Arabica, and because there's a lot less acid, and I think it tastes better.
Okay. Well, as always, you're an inspiration. You really are.
All right.
One day I would hope, and I've never really heard it from you, and I've been listening to you for at least 20 years, and maybe you've done it, but I've missed it. But I would be very interested in your exercise routine, more specifically, versus I run and go to the gym, and your diet a little bit. I mean,
all right.
It's something that many of us would like to emulate.
Okay. Well, it's a little bit eclectic, like much of my life. But my wife reminds me from once in a while that I am not normal. She calls me a hormonally enhanced creature, but with love in her heart.
Yes.
All right. If we get a little break here, I'll talk a bit about my exercise and my diet. You know, it's
Chinese vegetable omelets you have in the morning.
Well,
the leftover.
Pretty much, yeah.
Omelets.
So, yes, keep listening and
yes.
I'll see if I can sneak that in a little bit, okay?
Very good.
Right. I really appreciate it.
Okay, take care, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ben. We'll get to some calls and then we'll talk about what does Dr. Mixon put in him? What is in that thermos every morning? He has tea and I just went and refreshed my tea.
Yeah, it's just tea.
Just tea. No secret ingredients in this
secret
one.
Secret ingredients in this one. But, you know, I eat almost anything doesn't eat me. It's just a matter of frequency and amounts.
And yes, in moderation, big time with you,
right?
All right. We'll be back with hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. Ken, we're going to take your call next. And Leroy, you as well. And there is room for your phone call and your questions about your health, a recent diagnosis, maybe some symptoms you're having, or as you're aging. What is this all about? Let's talk about that. Here's the number to get through today. We are live in the studio, 206-421-5757. We'll be back in just a few moments. Stay right there.